Amen.
Amen.
Praise be his name.
Amen. Amen.
There is one good song. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Mm.
with his brother. He wasn't coming with the rest of the Maybe the devil doesn't want the baptism, but he will be baptizing his mom, the mom of the brothers, on Sundays. That's a real happy occasion. And Brother Thomas, what he likes to get out for outreach, so we're glad that he's around for this weekend. So let's keep that in prayer for tomorrow. Outreach in the club, really looking forward to. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalm 139. Very familiar scripture, we know it well. Let's just read it once again. Verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God.
Amen.
And know my heart.
Yes, sir.
Try me.
Hallelujah.
And know my thoughts.
Amen.
And see if there be any wicked way in me.
Amen.
And lead me in the way of life.
Please, Lord.
Let's also read Revelation chapter 2. Let's just have a look at the Lord's counsel to the Ephesian church age. Let's read verse 13 from verse 13, Revelation 2. I know thy works. From verse 2, yes. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience.
Amen.
And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen.
Hallelujah.
And repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of thy place. Except thou repent.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.
Amen, Lord.
Even as you've been singing,
hallelujah.
Speak, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we will be quick to answer thee. Father, we've come to humble ourselves before thee, to pray for your blessing. Father, Lord, upon the word. Thank you for song
worship.
Thank you for the shout of the king of the camp.
Amen.
Thank you for your grace. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your mercy.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Our Father has always wanted to shut ourselves in with thee. Won't you help us?
Amen.
To enter into that place, Father, as we've been singing, Lord, that you would speak, Lord. Search us, even as we will. Try us, Lord. Search our hearts. Help us upon this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just on days of consecration, if you really think, what are days of consecration for? If I could really say what I personally try to do on days of consecration, if days of consecration are days where you get an opportunity for reflection, you know, for inward reflection, to really look inside of yourself. You know, we've just read about the Ephesian church age, and but there's times and things we can do, and we can get ourselves to a place, if you're not careful as believers, that you know how to say the right things and how to do the right things outwardly, that we can lose sometimes the essence, or, you know, something which we used to have, which used to make things really precious to us.
Amen.
And with the busyness of life and the complexity of this age, the prophet says in the Thyatira church age, it says, the burden of the last age is the pressure of riches. You know, so you find sisters having to go to work and stuff, you know, unscriptural things, and, you know, pressure it brings on the family, and brothers now having to meet up with obligations, you know. And there's so much the pressure of riches, he says. And he says, soft living, you know, this kind of life, with the diet that we eat, and, you know, it's like a soft kind of life, and it affects you in your health, it affects you in, you know, your mind, and it's just the soft living that you have. And then he says, and the nervous tensions, you know, the pressures of life, and, you know, just the noise and what we're surrounded by in this age. He says, it's a complex age that we seem unfitted to live in. You know, so in those kind of times, in these kind of ages, saints, we need times to come away from the Lord. We need times where we just suspend life. We just suspend what we're doing. You know, we just look at the guys, let's stop being busy. Let's stop. No matter you're trying to do it for the Lord, you're trying to do it for your boss, whatever it is. No, we need times and occasions where we just stop all of these things. No, we stop looking out at all the hustle and bustle. Yes. And we look inward. Mm-hmm. And we start saying, God, what is the state and what is the condition of my soul before you?
Amen.
Where really am I as a believer at this time? Am I going forward in my walk with you, or am I going backwards? You know, because it's a deceitful age as well.
Amen.
And Jeremiah told us that the heart is deceitful above all.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at that. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
And then the next verse says, I, the
Hallelujah.
Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, so your heart is deceptive. Now your human nature that you're born with is very deceptive. You can think you're doing well with God when you're not.
That's right.
You can think you're doing His will and you're not.
Amen.
And you and I can think we're making progress because we've got a lot of activity, a lot of busyness going on inside of our lives. But until we sometimes quieten ourselves down and let the Lord come and search our hearts and say, Lord, search me, O Lord.
Amen.
You know, try me, Lord. Look inside of me. Because God doesn't really look at great results. God doesn't look at great works. Those things are good. But what the Lord really looks at is the motive. Is the objective. You know, we can be doing things. Now, just because we're doing those things and therefore the Lord, look at what He said to the Ephesian church. Now, He says that I know your works. I know your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. You know, so these people that were doing a lot of things, they were doing works for the Lord. And the Lord says, I know those works. They were laboring for His kingdom. They were having patience. They were undergoing the pressures and persecution for His name. Now, there was pressures that were upon them, and they were keeping themselves. But the thing which, when the discerning power of the Word Himself really came and visited them and searched deep inside of them, He came up with a conclusion. He says, you've lost something. He says, it's good what you're doing, but you've lost something.
Amen.
No, there was something that you used to have before that you don't have anymore. Now, if it was just an insignificance that they had lost, then He wouldn't have paid attention to it. Because He would have weighed up their works, and He would have weighed up their patience and the balance, and said, okay, they've lost a few things along the way, but that's okay. Because these works and this patience and this labor compensates for the things that they've lost. But when He looked at their labor and He looked at all the things that they were doing, the thing which they had lost was far greater in proportion to all the things that they were doing. Because the thing that they had lost was the very thing that makes all of these other things acceptable to the Lord. Which is they lost their first love. Now they lost the very essence. They lost that something which gives you the right motive and the right objective in the things that you're doing. And friend, that's why sometimes we need to really ask the Lord to search us. You know, He's the refiner. He's the refiner of silver. It says it in Malachi. That He's the refiner's fire, where He comes to separate the dross from that which is genuine. Now, in this kind of an age, we really need that. Because the conditions of the day are not conducive for us to search inwardly. You know, it's not conducive. We're just so busy.
Right.
You know, we can just say, okay, I'm not really what I used to be, but it's okay, but I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And then we're going to be going to church tomorrow, and then we're going to go and do outreach, and then we're going to come on to church on Sunday. We'll have youth, we'll have Sunday school and all these things. And I think sometimes the Lord just wants to say, hey, just stop for a season.
Amen.
But just search yourself. What is your, what is the essence of what's governing you inside of yourself?
Amen.
What is really happening deep down inside of your soul? What is the state of your soul? What is the real state of your spiritual life at this time? You know, don't look at the outward things. The Lord looks beyond those things. He appreciates all those things, but He looks at the heart of man. And He says, you know, let me look at the condition of your heart. Not forgetting that backsliding starts in the heart.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
Because the Bible speaks of the backslider in heart.
Right. Amen.
You know, so you backslide at heart first before you backslide in your outer works. You can continue doing works for a long time, yet be backsliding in heart.
Amen.
No, you can continue coming to the house of the Lord. You can continue to sing. You can continue to come and give items. You can continue to be a song leader, to be a musician. You can preach. You can be a deacon. You can be a trustee. You can be all manner of things. Outwardly, things seem to be the same. People look at you and think, but you know, the brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they're so faithful in the post of duty. The way they serve the Lord, they're always there. And that's good. And the Lord commended them for that. But then he took them a step further and says, but what is the essence behind these things?
Amen.
What is the condition within the veil? The prophet preaches hidden life with Christ.
Amen.
What is in the hidden life? What is going on inside of the veil? And that's why I think days and seasons of consecration are so important.
Amen.
Because it gives you an opportunity to be honest before the Lord once again. To lay aside food, to lay aside drink, to lay aside the busyness of life for a season. To come and say, but Lord, you know, I don't want to be running and running and running, but maybe not really pleasing you the way that I think that I'm pleasing you. I want to come back. I want to bring it back to the source inside of my life.
Amen.
And Lord, I want you to search me inside of my heart. And, you know, just discern me, the discerning power of the word.
Amen.
Come and discern me. That's why the Lord had to send us a message in this age, which is a discerning word. Because of the conditions of this age. It's a deceiving age. It's a complex age. So the Lord sends us such a message of discernment.
Yes.
Now, when he comes and he really searches. Amen. And he divides between the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and he really gets down to where we really are and who we really are.
Amen.
And that's what the message is for.
Amen.
You know, but we need to allow this word to really speak to us deep inside, to search us.
Mm.
To give an opportunity for the word to really discern what's happening really inside of our hearts. So that we can be honest with ourselves. Because as I say, every single one of us here at the moment, either we're progressing spiritually or we're going backwards.
That's right.
But I really do believe that for the vast majority of us, when we start going backwards, we don't realize we're going backwards.
Yes.
No, because of the complexity of this age, we can go quite some time without realizing that it's not the same in the heart anymore. That our attitude isn't what it used to be. That our essence, the motive behind why we're doing the things that we're doing, isn't fervent as it used to be. You know, it isn't the same. There's not the same something inside of us that used to be there, that used to govern us. In the days of our first works, in the days of our first love, but things have come in and it's got complex. And, you know, things have maybe not worked the way that they thought that they would. And you know, there's been expectations that you had and disappointments along the way. And all of these things start to work with the complexity of the nervous tension, and it has to have an effect.
That's right.
And that's why the Lord had to send us a message to raise up a standard. Because the enemy is really coming like a flood in this age. So God sends a message. He sends Elijah. Elijah comes to turn the hearts once again.
Amen.
And if you draw nigh, when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, he told the people, come near.
Amen.
But the problem with that, sometimes we get so busy that you're not coming near anymore. You know, and that's the truth, saints.
Amen.
You know, we can get so busy that you're not really drawing near to the word anymore. You're not really drawing near to allow maybe the spirit of Elijah to work that work, to turn us, to do something inside of our hearts. It's a very easy thing to do in this age. So the prophet now, he speaks, Brother Obanza, if you remember, he used this quote on in warning and judgment when Brother Obanza preached that message on soul examination.
Yeah?
But he's speaking to Brother Dow, the prophet. He says, now, in this case, I'm giving it a soul examination. He says, God,
amen.
For the soul only has one instrument. That's right, that's his word.
Amen.
So the only way the Lord ever allows you to, he gives you a soul examination is by his word. And days of consecration are days where you can have a soul examination.
Amen.
You can really say, Lord, come and examine my soul. Come and examine my human spirit, because my human spirit, it doesn't really mean that much. You know, it can be excited today and not excited tomorrow. It can be enthusiastic today, not enthusiastic tomorrow. But what's really governing me, whether I'm making progress or whether I'm going backwards, is the condition of my soul. What is happening within the veil? What is happening in the inside of the inside? What's really happening inside of there? And friend, if you remember, there was a masterpiece when he preached at that time about the disease that can enter inside us.
Right.
Hallelujah.
You know, but disease can enter the body, and outwardly people won't know that you've got disease.
Yes.
You may not even know it for quite some time. You can push for quite a way, still going to work, still going to college, still going to school, still looking after your children, still doing all the things outwardly that you did before. And people won't notice, but you're losing strength.
Yes.
There's something eating away inside. There's something which is getting right to the core of who you are. You know, it's threatening the very essence of who you are, but you can go for quite some time without realizing it, until you go now for an examination, that the doctor uses his instruments and he uses his knowledge and he uses his books and he has a look and then he gives you an honest report of your condition.
Amen.
And I think it's good for us just really to examine our condition once again upon this evening. Just
Amen.
In a couple of areas of our lives. You know, because we really desire the Lord to help us on these kind of days.
Amen.
Now, to do something for us.
Amen.
You know, because you can never ever improve unless you know exactly where you are.
Amen.
So you've got to know your enemy. You've got to know what you're fighting against. You've got to know, you know, the real condition. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord before you can change anything inside of your life. You've got to really give yourself an honest assessment as to where you are.
Amen.
That's such an important thing. That's why the prophet says we need a soul examination.
Amen.
And that's what he was doing to the Ephesian church. He was coming down and then really examining the souls. Now he was looking at the heart of the people. Now he was looking at all these outward things and he says, that's wonderful. But then he looked beyond that and he says, but something's changed inside of there. It's not the same as it used to be inside of there. There's a song that Keith Green used to sing, Lord, the feelings are not the same.
That's right. Amen.
And it's the truth.
Amen.
You know, something comes in and something starts to work and it's not the same as it used to be.
Amen.
Now when you take the word, it's not the same as it used to be.
Mm.
Yeah, when you get on your knees in prayer, it's not the same as it used to be.
Amen.
When you come to the house of the Lord, it's not the same as it used to be. In your relationship with your brothers and sisters, it's not the same as it used to be. In spiritual service, in whatever service it is, like the Ephesians that you're doing for the Lord, it comes to a place and it's not the same as it used to be. My friend, there's always a from that time.
Amen.
There's always a reason, you know, when that starts to happen. So the very first thing that would be good for us to have a look at is, in fact, let me just give you a definition of when the Bible speaks of backsliding. The backsliding heart. Backsliding is declension, which means a declining towards a worse state. So you're going down, you were somewhere, but you're going down, you're going to a place that you didn't used to be. You're declining to a worse state. It also means the tendency towards a lesser degree of excellence. So the tendency, the direction your life is taking is towards a lesser degree of excellence. You know, so you were somewhere.
Amen.
Now the Lord was using you. You were walking with the Lord. Amen. But there's a tendency that's coming.
Amen.
You know, there's something that's coming. There's a tendency. If you looked at the direction of things, not just looking at where you are now, but if you could stop where you are now and compare where you used to be.
Amen.
That's why in his diagnosis to the Ephesians, what does he say? He says, remember from where you
fall.
Amen.
He says, don't judge yourself just by where you are now.
Amen.
By what you're doing now, by your works and your labor, your patience, all those things are good. But you need to look back to where you were.
Amen.
And where you are now and where you were. What is the tendency? Is the tendency towards greater excellence and greater perfection Or is there declining taking place within the vet? Other people may not see it. Your wife may not see it. Your children may not see it. Your brothers, your sisters may not see it. But inside of yourself, there's a tendency that you were somewhere, but the direction things are going now, it's declining.
Amen.
And that's why the Bible speaks of the backslider in heart, because it starts in the heart.
That's right.
The tendency starts within the veil first. That's really where it comes in. Now, in the Ephesian church age, when the prophet preaches, and he speaks about where they had fallen from. And the very first thing he says in paragraph 2 of page 88, he says, the fervent desire to please God. The passion for knowing His Word.
Yes.
And then he speaks of different things as all begins to fade. And instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a little bit foggy. So it's given us certain symptoms that the Lord was seeing in the Ephesian church. And one of the main ones he spoke to the Ephesians about was their relationship with the Word. Because a believer, you and I, are only as strong as our relationship with the Word. Because He's the Word.
Amen.
You know, we need to judge ourselves, but what is my relationship with the Word? Now, we can go from one end of the scale to the other. Now, if you here this evening, and friend, you never read your Bible, I can tell you, you are backslidden in your heart. I can tell you that if you never read your Bible, you know, you might be busy with all other activities, but no, one of the real symptoms, if you do a soul examination, is going to be, what is your relationship with the Word?
Amen.
How do you see the Word?
Amen.
What does the Word do to you?
Amen.
Because in the days of our youth, in your first love, my friend, the Word used to do something.
Amen.
Because the Word has a power inside of it.
Yes. Right.
It has a transforming power.
Amen.
It has
Amen.
A sanctifying power. It has a stimulating
Amen.
Power.
Amen.
There's all of these things about the Word. And you know yourself, when things are well within the veil, when you get in the Word, there's an atmosphere.
Amen. Right.
And there's a result that that communion and fellowship with the Word has.
Amen.
You can never get in the Word and be in the Spirit and stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
That Word does something to you. You're washed by the waters of the Word.
That's right.
You sanctified, you purified, you edified, you empowered. There's the stimulation of revelation that the prophet speaks about. You know, so if we really wanted to do a soul examination this evening, you'd say, what is your relationship with your Bible, first of all? Even before we get onto the message of the hour. Because the message is such a powerful resource to shine light to the Word. To really, really give us a real communion with the Word. To really fellowship with the Word. But friend, there's the spiritual dimension of the Word. You know, and we can just be fellowshipping on the natural dimension of the Word. If our souls are not healthy, if our souls aren't in the place that they're supposed to be. But if there's spiritual disease inside of the soul, you find that there's a lack of the spiritual dimension when you're opening up the Word. And if you allow that to continue in your life for any space of time, you know what ends up happening? You don't want to read the Word anymore.
That's right.
Because it doesn't do anything to you. Then you'd rather be on YouTube. You'd rather be reading something. But it doesn't have to be simple. But you'll find something else to fill in with the gap. Because this isn't speaking to you anymore. Friend, that's a very serious symptom of the condition of our souls. When we get to a stage that we don't want to read the Word anymore. We don't want communion and fellowship with the Word anymore. Oh, friend, what greater symptom of losing our first love do we want? Is our relationship with the Word. Remember what the Word used to be to you.
Amen.
Remember times when you used to know to take the Scriptures and bring tears to your eyes. Not to be real and to be food to your soul.
Amen.
You wouldn't want to leave a certain chapter.
Right.
You'd read a certain chapter, a certain book, and say, that was so wonderful, let's start reading it again.
Amen.
And then when you fellowship with other people, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You had fellowship around those things that real to you.
Yes.
And those things became nourishment to other people. They became edification to the people that you used to fellowship with.
Mm.
Oh, friend, but it's easy to lose that.
Oh,
it's easy to lose your first love. But we can cover it up in works then. By all that's in the house of the Lord. I always dress properly.
Yes.
You know, I don't wear trousers, I don't put makeup, I don't put earrings. That's all good things.
Yes.
But all those things are now the essence of sin inside of the soul.
Amen.
And the Lord looks down and says, I know your works. I can see all these things that you're doing.
Amen.
But there's one thing I've got against you. You've left your first love.
Hallelujah.
My word isn't what it used to be.
Amen.
Friend, and the prophet says the only thing that God uses to give us a soul examination is the word.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing else that is going to use. This is a mirror that you can see our real reflection.
Amen.
Other people will give you a false reflection of who you are.
Amen.
People will pat you on the back and tell you that you do well. But when you look in the mirror of His word, it's the only place you'll ever see yourself in this world. But sometimes it's uncomfortable because it shows us the reality.
Hallelujah.
He comes and He divides between the soul and the spirit, between the bone and the marrow.
Amen.
He comes as a refiner.
Amen.
And He comes and He shows us this is fool's gold and this is the genuine.
Amen.
He comes and shows us the way that it's right. I don't know, days of consecration should be days of purification.
Yeah.
Amen. Saying, Lord, purge me, search me. No, Lord, I don't want to be running in vain. I don't want to just be running for the sake of running.
Mm-mm.
I want the essence. I want the motive to be right.
Amen.
If you look in the Bible, what did the Lord command? It was what was happening in the heart of a person. Here came a woman putting two mites.
That's right.
The amount she was doing or giving was very small.
Mm.
But God doesn't worry about that.
Amen.
He looks at the motive. He looks at what was in the heart when that work was done.
Yeah.
Our friend, it's the same as when we sing. That we can sing like nightingales.
Yeah.
We can sing and perfect our music and all that. But the Lord will come down and look inside of us.
Yeah.
What is the essence behind your singing?
Yeah.
What's happening in your heart when you're singing these songs? That's what He wants to be right in. That's what times of consecration are for the Lord. Lord, be honest with me, Lord. I don't want you to continue on.
Yes,
sir.
Look what He says in Isaiah 66, verse 2. This is what the Lord really wants. Isaiah 66, verse 2. He says, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. Okay? He says, but, Isaiah 66, verse 2. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. And you just ask yourself, what does the word do to you? And when the word comes your way, the real anointed word, when you put on a message, when you open the Bible, when you come into the house of the Lord, and the Lord gets into a message, and the Lord speaks to you, and you can tell that, hey, this is diagnosing exactly where I am. What do you do with that word? What happens inside of you when that word comes your way? You know, it's so easy just to say, it's easy to do that.
Amen.
It says, then you'll move on to something else. Or, you know, it's not as bad as that. Or, you know, at least I'm not like her. I'm not like him. I'm not like somebody else. Friend, that's got really nothing to do with it.
Amen.
This is a personal, individual thing between you and your Lord.
Amen.
And that He's looking for service, but He wants a certain motive and a certain essence inside of you, and He wants a certain essence inside of me. He doesn't just want the labor. He doesn't just want the patience. He just doesn't want those words. Those are good. But without that essence of that first love, that's something we used to have inside of ourselves, which gave us a certain zeal, that gave us a certain attitude, which gave us a certain atmosphere that those things came from.
Mm.
That's what the Lord respected more than the actual work. He respected the source that those things came from.
Amen.
Amen.
Pleased where those things were coming from. And that's why it really is the Word. So we really need to ask ourselves, what is my relationship with the Word?
Mm.
Do I tremble at His Word? And we were singing about it there. You say, speak, my Lord, I'll be quick to answer thee. But when the word does come and tell us, you need to separate from this relationship, you need to separate from this living inside of you, man. Do we only put your eyes up? No, are we soft inside of ourselves? The way that we used to be in the days of our youth, when the word would come your way and you couldn't wait to leave the house of the Lord to go and make something right.
Amen.
To go and separate, to burn your music or to burn your things that you shouldn't be reading or things that you shouldn't be doing. But it's a complex age. And it's so easy for us to hide behind something and get ourselves behind a veil of something and really not search ourselves. What's the second symptom? What about your service for the Lord? No. What is your relationship with the Lord in the service that you're doing for Him? Whatever service it is, you might be a Sunday school teacher. Yeah? You might be a musician, a singer, deacon, trustee. Yeah? You might be a minister, might be a pastor, whatever it is. But what is your relationship with the Lord in what you do? What atmosphere, what attitude, what is your approach? How do you look at that service that you're doing now compared to the way that you used to look at that service?
Yes.
Has it become a duty? Has it become something that lost a certain essence that it used to have?
Amen.
Is it something that you still do because you do it, but it's not done from the same place inwardly that it used to be done?
Amen, yes.
It's not the same something behind it anymore. It's very easy to get like that. The prophet says, and what dost thou hear, Elijah? He says, that's something that puts the cream in life. That's what he speaks. That's something that though you speak with tongues of men and angels and have not that, you're nothing.
Amen.
There's that something, you and I know what it's like. Amen. That when you sing and you've got that certain something, it makes that singing a blessing.
Amen.
That when you read the Bible and you've got that certain something in your experience at that time, it makes it communion with the Lord. It makes it personal with you, with the Lord.
Amen.
But then you can lose that something. Amen. And then you still do the same things that you used to do, but it's not the same as it used to be. Friends, it's easy to lose it in this life.
Amen.
And that's why we need consecration. We need time to come and say, search me, Lord.
Amen.
Just discern me, Lord.
Amen.
And show me, Lord. You know, how do I stand before you?
Amen.
And then we desire to have a soft heart as we sing, a pure heart.
Amen.
That's what I long for, a heart of Lord. Then that seeks to do His will.
Amen.
That's really what we desire.
Amen.
You know, because we can be faithful in all of our spiritual duties. Very faithful. We can pay our tithes, give our offerings, be, you know, do everything which is expected of us. And the Lord appreciates all those things. But we lost something.
Amen.
It's like the woman who lost the coin.
Yes.
And she knew. Something's not right here anymore. There's something I used to have that I don't have anymore. And the day was coming to a close. It was coming to evening time. But she had the right attitude. She took the lamp. She took the word. And she started to search. And she looked in the house. She looked under the bed. She looked under the cupboard. She looked in and said, but no. I've got to find that something that I lost.
Amen.
I can't leave it like this.
Amen.
This friend, the tendency to decline doesn't stop.
Amen.
It doesn't stop itself. You know, if you on the way down now, where are you going to be? Remember Brother Crosby, 5 years from now.
That's right.
Amen.
Where are you going to be 3 months' time? Where are you going to be next year this time? Where are you going to be? If you continue the current trend of the way that things are going in your spiritual experience. Our friends, it's a very individual thing.
Amen.
I can't answer for you. I can only answer for myself. And I know sometimes when I look inside of myself, there's things I don't like to see.
Yes.
I would have gone through things and seen certain things. It's about Lord. Now, those things affected me. I want to go back to what I used to be.
Yeah.
I want the essence to be what it was.
Amen.
But we you need is grace in these things. And one of the first things you're going to need is to be honest.
Amen.
Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Let's be honest with one another.
Amen.
Every single one of us have our struggles within the veil.
Yes.
Every single one of us have our disappointments, have our temptations. We have things which we thought were going to come to pass and they didn't come to pass. We've all got hopes and aspirations that haven't come to pass yet. We've all got things that are taking longer than we thought. We don't understand why it's that way inside of our lives. We've all got those kind of things. Don't judge by the book by the cover.
No.
Because every one of these books that God has written, friends, it's got chapters where there's, you know, some things inside of there that you, like David, you wish had never been written.
Amen.
There's certain things inside of there. That's just the way that it is. Now, in Isaiah 29, verse 13, Jesus quotes this one. This is the real, real danger in this. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men.
Amen.
Your heart isn't in any way. You're just dressing the way you dress because of fear of men.
Amen.
It's not because of a something inside of your heart that you want to please the Lord. The prophet says the very first thing about the feast and the age, he says, their fervent desire to please the Lord. That was the first thing that was good. And then secondly, their passion to know His word. Don't you remember those times when you were so thirst to know His word?
Amen.
No, you'd get your seals book, you'd get your church age book, you'd get your Hebrews, you'd get whatever it was. And it would feed you, and you couldn't wait to continue on because it was an unveiling of something. It was doing something to you. You know what really makes service acceptable? Is wholeheartedness.
Hallelujah.
That's why David was a man with many mistakes, but he was a man after God's own heart. Because when David did something for the Lord, his heart was in it. Even when he made his mistake, he was trying to bring the ark of the covenant to Jerusalem. There was a mistake that the man made, but it was his heart was in what he was doing.
Yes.
He wants to build a house for the Lord. The Lord says, you can't do it, you're a man of God. But his heart was in it. And I think that's the most important thing we need the Lord to really search us for, to say, my God, search my heart. I don't want to be double-minded.
Amen.
I want to be wholehearted in what I do.
Amen.
If I'm going to serve you, Lord, I want all my heart to be what I do.
Amen.
If I'm going to be a trustee, I want to do it with all my heart.
Amen.
If I'm going to be a musician, I want all my heart.
Amen.
If I'm going to preach, let me do it with all my heart.
Amen.
I don't want to just do it, let it become a duty or something which, it's something which we do so many times a week. Or something that you've got accustomed to, but you want that essence of something, that spiritual something that made it real and a blessing both to you and the Lord in days gone by, to be there once again in your service to the Lord. Now I'll give you an example in the Bible of someone who really lost the essence of what it was all about. It was the brother of the prodigal son.
Yes, sir.
It was a young man who lost the essence of what it was about. His brother goes down there among the swine. Even in his sin, he says, but my father's house is so blessed.
Amen.
Even the servants there have bread enough and to spare.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
He knows his father's house, but the problem is this older brother, he'd become too familiar with him.
Amen.
And he lost the essence of it.
Yeah.
And that's why when his brother came back, he says he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lord, these many years do I serve thee. Hey, this is his father. He says, Lord, Father, I've been a servant to you. And don't ever let your service become the spirit of a servant.
No.
Amen.
Then we lose the spirit of sonship.
Hallelujah.
I'm doing this for my father. That I'm doing this for my father and for his kingdom.
Amen.
But instead we can become like servants. Because a servant is someone who has to do it.
Yes.
So they get their wage at the end of the month. It's different than a son.
Amen.
A son does it because of his relationship to his father. Right. What belongs to his father belongs to him.
Right.
And because he wants to please his father, because it's his father. Because of the relationship that he has. But this young man lost that relationship. And it became service, just being a servant. All these years, many years, do I serve you. Neither transgressed I at any time thy command. I've been serving. I'm going to do everything he tells me to do. That's fine, friends, but there's something missing with this.
Amen.
He's serving every day. But there's something missing in his father saying, son, you know, all that you've done is wonderful, but you're missing something here. And the proof of it was when the young man came back from wasting all his money in righteous living. To show this young man and this older brother had lost the essence, he couldn't rejoice when the rest were rejoicing. He had a grudge. He couldn't forgive. He couldn't forget. There was something inside of there that it wasn't what it was supposed to be. Yet if you looked at those two, outwardly he was so right in what he was doing. His father couldn't lay a finger, a single thing that the son had done wrong. He says, all these years I didn't transgress your commandments. And yet, thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattened calf. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me.
Amen.
And all that I have is yours.
Amen.
He says, you forgot who you are.
Amen.
This all belongs to you. Mm. You're not a servant. You're my son.
Hallelujah.
Friends, let's sometimes we can get in prayer as well when we lose our relationship in prayer, and our prayer becomes the prayer of a servant, not a prayer of a son. Because we lose the spirit of adoption.
Amen.
There's no longer the spirit crying inside of us, Abba Father. But instead it's all just rules and commandments and
Yes, sir.
And the brazen altar. We've lost that essence of what we once had.
Amen.
When prayer was a joy. Yes, we couldn't wait to break through the veil of the flesh.
Amen.
To break through your human spirit. To break through the spiritual dimension that was trying to hold you back. To come into that place that you could pour out your soul before the Lord.
Amen.
But now it can become formal. You know, and then you don't even want to come for prayer meeting in the end. You know, you'll just say, it's a prayer meeting. I don't want to go for a prayer meeting.
Hey.
Do you prefer when it's a preaching meeting, friend? That is a very serious symptom.
That's
of decline. Yeah, of a tendency towards a less excellent state inside of your soul.
Amen.
And where is it going to end? Now, until you and I come to the stage that we're honest about it and say, but hey, I'm not what I used to be.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is in a bad way now, I'm saying. Not like we sing Brother George's song. Yes, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be.
Amen.
So you've got to really be honest with yourself.
Amen, amen.
And that's how we live these kind of times. Now listen to what the prophet says, the third one, if you just finish with this one and then try to show the cure to this. If you take the message, ever-present water from the rock, is you can judge the condition of your soul by your relationship to his house.
Mm. Yes,
and
sir.
His people.
Hallelujah.
Because how can you say you hate your brother who you can see?
Oh,
and
wow.
Say you love God who you can't see. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
So your attitude towards God,
amen,
and towards his people is going to be a real, real thermometer.
Amen.
A real, real something to show what's happening inside of your soul. Now the prophet speaks about Israel when they came up out of Egypt and how they said, this is on paragraph 79. He says, well, we wish we were back down in Egypt. Our souls loathe this light bread.
Mm.
Then the prophet says, I'd like to take historically what they said and bring it to today.
My.
He said, now in the modern day, it would be, oh, every Wednesday night, pray.
My goodness.
Now I'm saying, friends, What are we going to do with this Jesus called Christ?
Amen.
What are we going to do with this word?
Amen.
If that word comes to me now today and I see myself there and say, but I'm guilty.
Mm.
Yeah. What should I do? Should I just think of something else?
No.
Should I just go and get busy again when I get from here? Hustle and bustle and my duties and responsibilities in this life?
No.
Should I call a halt inside of my life and say, but Lord, this is a symptom maybe of something far more severe than I realize.
Yes, amen.
You know, I'm judging myself. Sisters will look at other sisters or look at denominational people and say, I'm better than her, I'm better than her, I'm better than her. That's got nothing to do
with it. Yes,
right. That's not the measure stick. The measure stick is the condition of your soul.
Amen.
Is the essence. Amen. What's happening inside of you? What is your motive? What is your objective?
Amen.
What is the life inside of you governing you to do?
Amen.
Actually, that's the only way we can assess and cover a true soul examination to see where we are.
Amen.
So it says in the modern day it should be every Wednesday night prayer meeting. Now listen how they say it. Every Sunday morning. You know, if you say every, it's like when the children say to you, Dad, do we have to go to church every Sunday?
Joshua.
It shows they're tired of it.
Mm.
You can't blame them. I mean, they're young. But when somebody says to you, every Sunday,
hey,
it's become a duty now.
My.
It's lost the essence of what it used to be.
Amen.
It didn't used to be like that inside of you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you're born again.
Yeah,
at some stage, when you had the days of your first love and the days
that's
of
right.
your... You used to love to be in his house.
Yeah.
You used to love to be in his house.
Hallelujah.
But now when you know there's no service because people are going to be away, let's have no service over Christmas. You're happy. Instead of yourself, you say, good. I'm not joking.
That's
a symptom of something.
That's right.
Amen.
It's a symptom.
Amen.
If the church was done away with some people, would be happy.
Amen.
That's how bad that is. No church. But guess that condition, we need to repent.
Yes.
We need to remember from where we've fallen. Because we've fallen from somewhere. There's decay that's coming there. Every Sunday morning, back to church. What do we hear? You see how the people are looking at the preaching?
Mm.
What do we hear? The same thing. You know, when you're out of communion with the Lord, the word always seems to be saying the same thing.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, get right.
Get right. He's always blasting us about this.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's like it's judgment all the time.
That's right.
But to other people, it's not the same thing.
Amen.
To other people, it's a 7-course meal. You have this on a Wednesday, Brother Eddie. Have this with Brother Max. Have this on Sunday. Have this at this. It's like it's different.
Amen.
But when you're not having communion with the Lord, it's like every service just seems the same to you. You're just looking at your watch. You're just thinking about what you're going to do after this. You're just thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. That's a serious symptom of a decline in your spiritual life. It's a very serious symptom. The same thing. The preacher stands up and preach songs. Yeah. Song leader all is the same songs, and you go on back. See, the prophet says, then you just go in as a line of duty.
My.
You're not a worshiper.
Amen.
But you used to be a worshiper.
Amen.
And what is the Father seeking? He's craving after those that will worship.
Amen.
Amen.
He's not looking for the outward
thing. No.
He's not looking, if I say it in this sense, for your bum on the seat, like they say, just to fill up another chair.
No.
The Lord appreciates your attendance, but what he wants is your worship.
Amen.
Your worship is far more than
your worship.
He appreciates me standing here tonight, but unless it's done in a spirit of worship,
amen,
with the right motive, the right objective, the right essence behind it,
amen,
it's not acceptable to you. It's not acceptable to you. You're not a worshiper. A worshiper goes there to worship.
Hallelujah.
To express themselves before God.
Amen.
To praise God for his
yes, sir. Amen.
And to every word he hangs on to it.
Amen. Amen. Life.
That's worship.
Amen.
When you realize the Lord's speaking to me here.
Amen.
It's the most important thing to
you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord, you're speaking to me.
Speak, Lord.
I've been going through this valley. I've been struggling with this. He's but Lord, you come in to show me the answer.
Amen.
How great you are.
Amen.
That's when things are the way that they're supposed to be. You hang on to every word.
Amen.
He says, just like a love affair.
Hallelujah. Amen.
If you're going out with a girl because you knew it was a duty, or coming with a boy because mama wants me to go with this guy. So can you see, he's showing that worship is based on relationship. That's what it is.
Amen.
Yeah. When you get into a relationship with a boy, yeah? And the only reason you're going with that boy is because your mom says, no, he's a good boy. I want you to go out with this boy. Is it ever going to work out?
No.
Listen how he explains it. He says, mama wants me to go with this guy, but I just can't stand him.
Wow.
You don't get nothing out of him coming to see you. No matter how much he prepares himself, no matter how much he brings gifts, no matter how much he puts on his best, whatever, and he comes there, you don't get anything out of his coming. Because you're not in the right relationship with that person. Your heart is not knit to that person's heart. You don't want him to be there. And like the prophet says, you can't wait for him to leave. You're looking at your watch saying, I just wish this guy would go because it's boring. I don't want to be with this guy. Now look, when you come into the house of the Lord, you're looking at your watch. You say, what is it?
My.
What does that show? You don't have the right relationship with his house, with his people,
yes,
with the Lord himself.
Amen.
There's
yes.
something wrong in the relationship.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, you see, it bores you, no love of it. When he's coming to see you, my, you just wish you would hurry and go on home.
Hey.
That's the same as it is when you say, why does he preach so long? It's exactly the same.
Amen.
You say, why does he preach so? Because we're in the wrong relationship.
Amen. Yeah.
You're not in the right relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
Why does he preach so long?
Amen.
But when you really hang on to every word,
amen,
it's eternal life. Every word of God, it's a joy to go to church.
Amen.
Under any circumstance, whether it's hot or cold, whether the people are fussing, growling, whatever they're doing, it's still a joy to hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Then you're in love then with Christ.
Amen.
When you love to go to church.
Yes.
Oh, friend. Somebody asked me that the other day, friend, you cannot ever tell me somebody's life is right if they don't go to church.
That's
it's impossible.
Right.
Yes. Amen. You might outwardly, the person may seem to be right, but you can't contradict the word.
Amen.
You can't contradict the word.
Amen.
God said from the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone.
Amen.
And God instituted the congregation in the days of Moses.
Amen.
A central place of worship.
And
continued on through the book of Acts and came into the book of Ephesians. Paul shows us assembling together the ministration of the word.
Amen.
It's impossible for you to serve God just on your own.
No. Yes, sir.
God, unless there's no church.
Yes, sir.
But if there's message believers gathering where the carcass is, the
hallelujah.
That's where you find your place.
Amen.
In
Amen.
So that you can edify the body. The whole purpose, Paul said, of being ministered to is to prepare you so that you can edify the body. You can build up.
Amen.
The whole purpose is to build up. But you want to be a lone ranger yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're right. There's always a reason for it.
Amen.
I said that to one brother. I said, generally, the reason for that one, either the person's had serious disappointments before in the message. Have gone through experiences that gave them a real bad taste. So now they stay by themselves. It shows this disease came in.
Amen.
It shows they need the great physician.
Hallelujah.
And just because there's a counterfeit dollar, it means there's a genuine dollar.
Amen.
But just because we went through bad experiences in the message before doesn't mean there's places that you won't have a good experience.
No.
There's always going to be a
genuine
somewhere. Let's finish it off. The prophet says, but if you really are in love, you just can't wait till
Sunday
morning.
Amen.
You've got to get down there with them.
Amen.
The people of God.
Amen.
They don't bore you.
Yes.
Why are they your brothers and sisters?
Amen.
You get as thick as sorghum molasses on a cold morning.
Amen.
The colder it gets, the tighter they stick. That's the way it ought to be with us.
Amen.
And now he gets to the key. And what we love each other is not because we're somebody. It's the Christ in one another we love.
Yeah.
So friend, if you're out of fellowship with Christ in his work, and you're out of fellowship with Christ in his church, you're going to be out of fellowship with Christ in your brothers and your sisters.
Amen.
That's why you speak a lot of other things with people. Invite people to your house. You never speak anything at any fight. You never fellowship around the word. Never fellowship around the message of the hour. Never fellowship around what's being preached at that time. Because you don't have any relationship for the
divine.
That's why you'll speak of general things. You'll get onto this and that and cooking and politics and all these other things, or sport or general things. Why? Because you're out of fellowship with Christ himself.
Amen.
Which means you're out of fellowship with Christ in his people.
Amen.
And that means you're out of fellowship with Christ in his house. That's why it bores you when you come to church.
Amen.
It's a sign your soul is out of fellowship with Christ. These are all symptoms of it.
Amen.
You're not finding Christ in his word. You're not finding Christ in his church, in his house. You're not finding Christ in his people. It's a worrying condition to be in.
Amen.
Surely you don't want to stay in that kind of
thing. Hallelujah.
We need a soul examination.
Yes, sir.
Let's be honest with ourselves. What is the state of your soul?
Amen.
If your soul is like that, you think of transferring somewhere where there's no message to it. I've seen many people do that. It's a sign something's come in the mail. It's a decline. You're not watching where you were before. And you need a soul examination on that. Let's finish it off. The prophet says, and we would see Jesus, he said, a real doctor, if you come with a terrible headache and he gives you an aspirin and sends you home, he's only trying to get rid of you. But a real doctor would diagnose that case until he finds the cause.
Amen.
You've got to know the cause before you find the cure.
Amen. Amen.
Now, friend, everything in a believer's life has a from that time.
Yes.
Amen.
Everything you can trust.
Hallelujah.
If you get in a spiritual dimension,
amen.
If you humble yourself before the Lord, he will show you the course. It's from that time. If you are doing well, look what he says to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Let's read that. Galatians 5, verse 7. Paul to the Galatians. You did run well. Who did hinder you?
Amen.
You did run well. Who did hinder you? Most of the time it's a who.
Yes.
Most of the time it's a who. Like I said, it's a disappointment that you had before. You were disappointed by people. Disappointed by, you know, not meeting up to expectation. There's some kind of a disappointment. You were running well and then something came and it hindered you. Something came and stumbled you along the way. And that allowed something to start working within the veil. You still continue doing the things outwardly as you always did them. But something's changed on the essence within because of a course. Something's coming. Like John the Baptist. He was running well, then something ended him.
Yes.
And now he loses the vision. There was a cause. You could trace it back to from that time and was cast into prison. And Jesus never came and visited me in prison. There was always a from that time, friends.
Right.
If you're in a condition today, that's what I'm saying. It's not always sin that does this. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes you're hindered by a girl with pretty eyes. Yeah? Sometimes it's a Delilah like Samson. Sometimes it's a Bathsheba in your life like David. You get hindered. No, that's okay. I'm not speaking about that. But you might say, but I don't have open sin inside of my life. There's still a cause.
Amen.
For you not to love this house anymore.
Amen.
For your attitude towards his people to have changed. For your attitude towards his word.
Amen.
To have changed. Your relationship with his word. There's a cause somewhere.
Amen.
Many times a wife will be disappointed because of her husband.
Yeah.
She'll be so disappointed to say, but when I married this man, I never thought it was going to be like this.
Amen.
And she was a believer when she gets married, and she won't admit it, but within the veil, she's attributing blame to God. In her attitude, she won't say it openly, but she's disappointed with the Lord. She feels the Lord really let her down. She really feels that.
Amen. Yes.
And that's why she can't give full worship to the Lord. That's hindering her from fellowshipping with Christ and his people. Because inside of her there she's got discontent. She's got a disappointment. She's got a question there that needs an answer. It's got something there that needs bargaining.
Amen.
There's so many things it can be. Disappointments in ministry is a big one. He's spoken it many times.
Amen.
Look at Elijah going back and say, I know better than my father. Then he died. The prophet wanted to go and live up in Alaska. It wasn't from that time.
Yes.
There was a cause. He was running well.
Amen.
Something came and it disappointed him. Something came and there was no more the momentum that he used to have. It changed the essence of him.
Amen.
He would still do the things outwardly as before, but now his thought process changed. And instead of thinking of the next campaign and the next campaign, now he's thinking, I'm going to go to Brother Bud. I'm going to get my wife. I'm going to trap her up there. Can you see that?
Amen.
And he needed a soul examination, and the pillar of fire, the Logos, came down in the car and gave him a soul examination.
Amen.
When he showed him the peaks in Montana. And we need that.
Amen.
We need that. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be
Amen.
Honest with God. We need to be honest with one another.
Amen.
And don't just keep it within yourself. There's a cause. There's a from that time.
Hallelujah.
It's always a from that time. He says you've got to know the cause before you can find the cure. And then look what he continues on the next verse. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that called you.
Yes. Amen.
Something else is coming, influencing you. It's not the original call that you had. That was calling you upwards and you were making progress inside of your life. But this persuasion is pulling you another way.
Like,
it was not him who called you that's doing this. And now the influence is coming. It's taking advantage of from that time. And then look at the next one. A little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Wow.
If you don't purge that leaven,
Amen.
If you don't deal thoroughly with it, it's going to leaven your whole lump.
Amen.
How many people we can list on a list?
Wow.
Like I say, that seem to have been running well at
some time.
They don't want to worship anymore.
Amen.
They're in the world. They're in the grave. They died outside of the faith.
Hey.
Yet for a season we were together with them, but then something came in and they never dealt with that leaven the way that they should have.
Amen.
And they didn't only leaven their worship and leaven their attitude towards his word and his house and his people, but in the end it led them into unbelief.
Amen.
You want it to be like that.
Amen.
Hey!
You know what the prophet says in the message about backsliding? He says a very outstanding thing. The prophet says, we backslide against Christ.
Wow.
He says, but never backslide against God.
Amen.
You can lose your first love.
Amen.
You can lose your relationship with Christ. But he says, but once you backslide against God, you're done.
Amen.
That's unbelief.
Yes.
That's sin in your soul.
Yes.
Oh, now, obviously, a genuine seed will never be able to do that.
Amen.
But you can backslide against Christ. We get out of the relationship, the attitude we used to have. Because if you want to see Christ, you've got to see him in his word. You've got to see him in his creation. You've got to see him in his church. You've got to see him in his people. You don't get to see him anywhere else. You want to see him in yourself. That's what you want. A little leaven leavens the whole life. So who did he do? Now, what is the solution? What is the solution? When you trace it back, we'll finish with this. You've got to first find the cause.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If the cause is flesh and blood, if somebody offended you, if somebody stumbled you, what did Jesus say?
Amen.
He says, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone.
Hallelujah.
And if you shall hear, you've gained your brother.
Amen.
Friend, there's no easy way here.
Amen.
You can't just keep it inside of your bosom and say it's going to take care of itself.
No, it's never.
Not.
Never.
It's not. If decisions were made that disappointed you, and you're struggling to get over those decisions, what did he say in Isaiah chapter 1? Come and let us
reason.
Because there's always two sides to a decision. The way you see it, and the way the person who made the decision saw it. And maybe if you get together and reason about it, you can find a harmony. Maybe you can understand things that you didn't understand before.
Amen.
Maybe you can see it the way the other person saw.
Hallelujah.
And then it's not going to be a stumbling block to you anymore. Amen. It's not going to be an offense to you anymore, because now you see it the way that it was. And the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
You've got to know the truth.
Amen.
My friends, the devil is real cunning on this side. I know it. He finds an occasion, he finds an opportunity, he finds an offense, he finds a disappointment, he finds, you know, an expectation that wasn't met, and he comes in there. And here comes another persuasion to you. And he starts saying to you, but you know those people don't love you. People don't appreciate you. You know those kind of things that always come. If you weren't there, people you wouldn't even notice that you're not there. And things like that. And for even the prophet says, how you build a confidence, keep thinking a certain thing. He says, you just keep thinking a certain thing, you get your complex. He says, take it back and check it with the word.
That's right.
Bring it into the light.
Hallelujah.
Go and sit down with that person. Go and sit down with those people. But the first thing that you need to do, you need to speak to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You need to take that sign and you need to lay the Lord to yourself first.
Amen.
You have to desire to change what's never going to change.
Amen.
If you worship that thing and fellowship with that thing and feel justified having that thing, like the maniac from Portland, it's never going to leave you.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
But when you come to a stage, you say, this is poisoning my experience.
Amen.
This is hindering me in my walk.
Hallelujah.
This is a persuasion that's calling me for my calling. What would be the end of this if I continue with this essence, which is growing inside of my experience? You need to bring it to the altar today. You don't need to wait for tomorrow. You need to come
today.
You need to say, Lord, this wants to destroy me. This has changed me in ways that I never realized.
Amen.
This has brought me down. I thought I was doing pretty well. But the heart is deceitful above all things. And Lord, your word has come and shown me once again.
Amen.
Not where I'm supposed to be. And Lord, I see where it comes from.
Amen.
The enemy took advantage. Lord, I'm bringing this to the altar.
Amen.
Like you always said, friends, when you bring something to the altar, you don't expect to take it alive again.
Amen.
When something comes to the altar, it's dead.
Amen.
You see, I want to die to this
person.
I want to die to this
person.
I want to be purged of this level. You've got to set it right inwardly first.
Amen.
And then you go now and do the other things that you need to do. And that's why the prophet says, if a brother's done you evil, and you know he's done you evil, don't mention it. Take it to prayer.
Amen.
Go and speak to God, stand shoulder to shoulder with that brother in prayer. And say, Lord, I don't understand. My brother did me evil. He deserves to be punished. Then let God start speaking to you.
Amen.
That's the turning point, friends. That's our topic tonight, is turning point.
Amen.
That's the turning point. When you approach it now the right way, you allow the Lord to start to deal with it. That's your turning point.
Amen.
The prophet calls it in the church ages, the way back. He says, what is the way back? I'm telling you the way back.
Amen.
If it's sin inside of your life, the scripture says, he that confesses and forsakes his sins. Don't just come and do and get emotional. And inside of yourself, you haven't laid it on the altar. Lord, I'm sorry what I said. I'm sorry about this relationship. I know I shouldn't be doing it. And Lord's looking at your heart and you still have the desire. That's hypocrisy. But when you get to the stage, you say, Lord, enough is enough.
Yes.
I need to die for my experience. That's it. Now you're going to confess it and forsake it. Now you're going to do something about it to purge that level from your experience. And then things are going to start turning once again. Look how he finishes up in the Ephesian church age. He says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen.
Amen.
That's the prophet says, you've got to go back in your mind.
Amen.
You used to be I never used to gossip like this.
Amen.
I never used to criticize people in church like this. I never used to have an attitude like this. got to go back in your mind and see what you used to be, and then repent. And then do the first works.
Amen.
Go back and do what you used to do.
Amen.
If you used to get up early in the morning to seek the Lord before you went to college, start getting up early in the morning.
Amen.
If you used to fast once a week, start fasting once a week.
Amen.
If you used to pray when you came back from work, go back and pray.
Amen.
If you used to put on the messages and listen to the car on the way to your job, listen to the messages.
Amen.
Go back and do your first works.
Right.
Some magic spell that's going to fix it.
Yes.
You've got to remember. You've got to repent. You've got to return to your first words.
Amen.
The prophet says, repent quickly.
Yes.
Don't hesitate.
Mm.
Evidently, Ephesus did hesitate. For her lifespan was not very long. The glory of the Lord decreased ever so rapidly. Now, it does not mean that she could not have repented.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mean that we cannot repent. We can. But it must be quickly. It must be a true heart cry to God in sorrow.
Amen.
Then God will restore.
Amen.
The glory shall come.
Amen.
It's got to be a heart's cry first. It's got to be a one more time, Lord. This has gone on too long. This has gone too far. This has taken me further than I ever expected it to take me. This has kept me longer than I ever expected to be kept in this condition.
Amen.
Lord, just once more, Lord.
Amen.
A true heart's cry to God.
Amen.
He says, then the glory shall return.
Hallelujah.
Because the Lord has said, I will restore it.
Amen.
All of this, that power woman, that locust, and that caterpillar, that cankerworm, all of those bugs, all of those influences that took advantage of those disappointments and those situations inside of your life, if you will lay that honestly on the altar and set it right inside of your heart to say, Lord, this must change now. I need a turning point. Lord, let this be the turning point. I'm on my way back. This is the glory shall return.
Amen.
Let's go. Let's go upon the name of the Lord, friends. You know where you are this evening.
Amen.
Upon you. If you lost your first life, if you've got another persuasion that's persuading you, deal with it now. That is your enemy. That is not your friend. Those thoughts, that thought process, that anointing, that atmosphere, that darkness that desires to come, that depression, that oppression, that's the devil talking to you. He's trying to get you away from what you're supposed to be. Declare war today. Don't let it on the altar. Pray to God and say, Lord, let the be a turning point. Let's all call upon the name of the Lord. Because you are gracious.
Let's sing that song, A Pure Heart. That's what I long for. Long for the day to come to speak with us before the Lord. Let's keep Brother Max in prayer in Italy. If the Lord gives him a safe journey back. Let's keep the baptism on Sunday in prayer. Let's pray for our outreach tomorrow as well. That the Lord may lead us and guide us. And let's pray for every soul here that needs a turning point.
Amen.
Oh, friends, there's so many of us that need a turning point. Let tonight be the night. Just respond to the word.
Amen.
And there'll be another kind of from there.
Amen.
You'll be able to testify in days to come. You'll say, from that time,
Amen.
Things stop going down and things start going down.
Amen.
That's our concern. So, brother, we bless us. We dismiss the rest. Sing the song at the brother.
That's what I know. That's what I'm looking for. A heart that falls after thee.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, on this night for your grace, for your mercies, Lord.
Amen.
Father, most of all, Lord, we thank you for consuming, Lord, the sacrifice this day.
Amen.
Father, of a surety, we believe, Lord, that you've accepted the sacrifice which we've made, Lord. Father, for Lord, you confirmed it in your presence.
Thank you.
Father God, in the song worship.
Yes.
Lord
Amen.
God, how we appreciated your presence, Lord.
Amen.
Father, but most of all, oh God, we thank you for speaking to us, Lord, on this night. Father, speaking, Lord God, not just to our ears or to our minds, but Lord, to the depths of our soul. Lord. Father God, Lord, and we do appreciate, Lord, your love. Father, toward us, let no one, Lord, take it as a rebuke. But Lord, it's your love, Lord God, it's your, Father God, seeking grace, Lord, which comes out, Lord. And Father, it's the assurance that you've given to us, Lord, that you said, Lord, your Son, Lord Jesus, said that what the Father has put in my hand, Lord, you'd not lose one. Father, we thank you for ushering us along the way. Lord God, we thank you for speaking to the depths of our soul. Lord, we know that, Father, you spoke, Lord, to each and every person here this night. But, oh God, we want to have the right attitude toward your word, Lord. Father, how we pray and ask you that you'd help us not to be forgetful hearers. Lord, you spoke that we should act, oh God. Heavenly Father, let us not put it away, Lord, to another day. Let us not put it away to another person, Lord. Father God, Lord, where there's weakness, won't you please come, Lord, and strengthen, oh God. Even as you promised, Lord, that you strengthen the hands that, Father, hang low and the knees that are feeble. Please, Lord, we're dependent on thee. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercies once again. Lord, for all things done, we thank you for traveling mercies, Lord. Father God, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you continue to be with us. We take these things not for granted. Father, we want to lift up unto thee, Father, the commission which you gave even unto us, Lord. Father, Lord, even seeking souls, Lord, Father God, even in Kalo, Lord, tomorrow. Lord, we desire, Father God, Lord, not just, Lord, to fulfill a duty, but, Lord, have a fervent desire, O God, to be guided and led of thee, Lord. Father, to be meek, Lord, in our spirit, so that you can lead, Lord God. Because, Father, Lord God, we know that, Lord, except you build a house, Lord, then the builder build in vain. And that's not our desire, O God. Lord God, we believe that, Lord, you have your children out there, Lord. So, Father God, we avail ourselves unto thee, Lord. Please use us, O God. Heavenly Father, protect us, Lord, against the vices of the enemy. Lord, who upon sensing a work, Lord God, tries to come in to destroy. But, O God, we pray unto thee that, Father, your mighty angel, Lord, would stand, Lord, before. Father, Lord God, let the efforts not be in vain, O God. Father, because the work is not for any man, but it's for your kingdom, Lord. It's for your lost souls, Lord, your lost sheep, O God, that are out there. So bless, Lord God, the work, O God. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord God, for grace even upon Brother Max in Romania. Please undertake for him, Lord. Bless him there, Lord. May be a blessing to the saints there. Father, Lord God, watch his family here. Lord God, and bring him back, Lord God, safely even unto us. Lord, Brother Neto as well, Lord, who travel, Lord, in Romania and different places. Please watch over him, O God. Father, we're looking unto thee, Lord, for mercies and grace, Lord. Father, we pray as well, Lord God, for expecting sisters, Lord. Father, we look into thee, Father God, for safe delivery. Father, Lord God, that glory, honor, and praise, Lord, would be given unto your name, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know the needs of this place. We pray, Lord God, for our young people, Lord. Father God, Lord, the youth, Lord, even the young believers, Lord, young 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds, Lord, all, Father God, in your presence. Lord, you'll have representation, Lord, in every place. Father, the prophets are a bride in every nation, O God. And Father, we are here, Lord God, doing our best, Lord. So, Father, we pray that your glory would be upon your children, Lord, from a young age, Lord. Father, may they remain tender toward thee. May they have experience of thee, Lord, even in their tender age, O God. Father, bless, Lord God, the Sunday school teachers, Lord. Father, as they minister, Lord, unto Thee, Lord. May they not tire, may they not be weary, Lord. Father God, Lord, we pray so much, Lord, even for our pastor, Lord. Father, continue to renew, Lord God, His strength, Lord. Lord God, we pray, Father, that You continue to give Him grace to humble Himself, Lord God, to put Himself aside, so that You can use Him as You desire, O God. Heavenly Father, we pray for Your blessing, Lord, upon us, O Lord. Bless every brother, every sister, Lord. Father, Lord God, even we thank You, Lord, once again for Your presence tonight. And we ask You, O God, that as we go travel home, please be with us, keep us safe, Lord God. Father God, Lord, and as well, we so much desire that Your Spirit would be with us. Lord, let us put away foolish things, Lord. Father, let us not speak about vain and carnal things, Lord, that add up to nothing. But Lord God, we think of those two men on the way from Emmaus, the believers, Lord, that as they spoke about You, You drew near. So Lord, may our conversations be chaste, O Lord. May our conduct be chaste, O God. So that You, Your tender Spirit, Lord God, would remain with us, O God. Father, be with us, Lord. Keep us safe, Father. Even in the night watch, Lord, we look unto Thee. We thank You once again. Be with us now, Lord. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
What time are we meeting tomorrow, bro? 12, Carlo. What's the time in Carlo? 12. So let's meet 12. If Brother Greg can just put us his address on WhatsApp so we know how to get to his house. Let's meet 12 o'clock tomorrow in Carlo. Anybody who can't be there, please do keep us in prayer. As Brother David said, without the Lord building the house, it's in vain. Unless the Lord watches, we watch in vain. May the Lord help us. May His will be done. May He glorify His name. May what we do be an act of worship tomorrow. That's our desire. May the Lord bless you. Let's dismiss with a song.
We are His people.